Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
It is the Unpack Podcast, presented by AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation on Twitter, at the Unpack Pod on Instagram for no reason, at the Unpack Pod. Like, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, like the person like a year ago who said, the NFL is dead to me, too much political correctness, virtue signaling, and pandering. I don't need this crap. I'm going fishing. Good review. One of my favorite iTunes reviews.
If we could turn somebody off the NFL forever, our work is done.
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Yep. Indeed. That was a 1-star review. So you guys got a lot to live up to. Hit us up on Apple Podcasts there. I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. And I am joined. You heard it. You heard the audio quality there first. Ben in a car. First time, long time. How you doing? You're literally like taking your jacket off while driving right now. This is great.
This looks dangerous.
It's good to hear you guys. Long time fan.
There's like, you've got a face mask dangling in front of the thing. This is great. This is great. Again, great, great audio for no one who can see this, but.
Well, welcome to my world.
Yeah. Ben in a car. Where are you driving to? What's the deal?
I'm driving to my apartment.
Exciting stuff. Also joined back on a microphone in high fidelity, eating seaweed snacks and drinking a fancy beer. It's Alex Patakis. How are you?
I'm doing well. Out of respect for the show, I'm going to stop crunching on these extra crunchy seaweed snacks. I realize I had sushi for lunch today too, so this is a lot. This is a high seaweed intake day.
That's good. So there's nutrients there, right? I don't know.
Yeah, probably also like way more than the recommended daily value of sodium.
Yeah.
Maybe actually, there's only 40 milligrams per serving. Oh, 5 servings per pack in these seaweed snacks. So whatever. I'll be bloated tomorrow. What else is new?
I like a seaweed snack. Underrated snack.
Yeah. It's flavors. The wasabi flavor is usually pretty good. There's like 3 calories.
Yeah.
So just straight salt. It's all good.
Love a wasabi flavor. Quick plug for the Patreon, because we switched the name. We are now patreon.com/theunpackpod. If that is something that you are interested in, you could find us there. Any donations are appreciated. We actually have been chatting with one of our patrons about getting him on. He does he's a trivia host, and we were thinking about doing some Packers trivia later in the year, so maybe we can we can get that going if anyone's interested. I'm not a trivia buff per se. Alex, I feel like, did you ever do trivia when you were on live radio? That feels like a radio thing.
Very radio thing, yeah. I've taken part / had to host things like that at bars throughout, you know, the city of Milwaukee and things of that nature. But I also suck at trivia, though. Like, I remember the most random things about the Packers and forget, like, the layups.
I am a trivia buff, but I think I would be generally terrible at Packers trivia.
I think we give it a shot. I like the idea.
Yeah. So, I floated the idea to Justice Mosqueda. Maybe you can come on and be like the smart guy who remembers things.
I mean, it all depends on how far back you go too, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. No, I think you know, we don't need to get too far in the weeds here, but I think like we would, you know, we'd go back to like Favre era and later, just for our own, you know, games we might have watched.
Alive for.
Yeah, alive for. Well, why don't we talk about the current Packers as we move into the show, I guess, on the free Zoom. We got a time limit here. The Packers beat the Steelers at a rainy Lambeau Field. And I guess we should just get right into it with our note nugs, notable nuggets. Hashtag note nugs at the Unpack Pod on Twitter. Send us your bite-sized takeaways, your note nugs after the game. And send them even if we forget to prompt you for them until like 3 hours after the game, like I did, because I was like three micheladas deep and then I realized it was evening time. I was like, oh crap, never sent that tweet. So send them to us anyway. We did get a few in and we will get to those in a second. I will go first with my note nug. I saw Zach Cruz on Twitter posting about this. In the past 2 weeks, with no David Bakhtiari and no Jenkins, 77 dropbacks for Aaron Rodgers, only 15 pressures. We've talked about the offensive line playing, sort of outplaying expectations all over this audio feed all season. So I don't want to belabor the point, but to come out of these first four games in those circumstances, 3-1, as far as like chunks or stretches of the season go, I mean, you got to feel so good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is, I don't, not this team, this franchise is so good at drafting offensive linemen, drafting and developing offensive linemen. I think if I had to pick one position to have a draft pick pan out at, you know, I'd get shot in the head, I would trust the Packers scouting staff with an O-line pick.
That's quite the ultimatum, or you'd get shot in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if I had to put my life in the hands of Packers scouting staff in some contrived, arbitrary situation.
He's like, I don't know. I'm driving, I'm improving.
There's a few misses. There's a Tony Mandarich here or there. But, I think the modern Packers are quite an offensive line drafting and developing juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean, well, Tony Mandarich is like, that's the before times, I feel like.
No, But I mean, I was thinking of Stepniak. There's a mess here or there.
Yeah. Okay. Cole Madison.
Cole Madison's a weird case, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And we don't have to go on and on about this because I feel like we do talk often about how good they are at sort of finding those diamond in the rough, versatile offensive linemen, mid-round, late-round, UDFAs sometimes. But for me, I guess we'll sort of turn that on its head. Why are other teams so bad at this? They're so bad. There are some teams that are just, their offensive line is bad for like 15 years. I don't know. Packers got the secret sauce, I guess.
But I think if you end up in kind of like a pit of despair, right, and you keep having to spend your high draft capital on people you think are going to be franchise players, it can be tough to convince the fan base and the owner and whoever else to kind of get excited about a left guard or whatever.
Yep. Alex, give me your note nug on a fancy microphone.
Okay. Mine is an obvious one, but I just want to give some shouts to one Randall Cobb, 5 for 69 and 2 touchdowns. This is the Cobb game, and if he has a game better than this, I will be so pleasantly surprised. I think that this is already like more productive than I expected him to be, and that's not really a knock on him, but I guess the situation when the Packers receiving core was healthy was such that I thought we really wouldn't see him on the field. And I texted our group chat this, but it's not like these were huge. There was a couple of long plays. You know, it wasn't like significant, like 2011 chunk yardage stuff, but it was like watching slot receiver porn for like two throws, which was awesome because like Rodgers is so good at that. And I think we all just kind of thought this Cobb signing wasn't necessarily a very football motivated move and was kind of just throw a bone to Aaron move. But, there's a clear role for him now, given the state of the other players at that position and the fact that he brings something to this team that I guess they didn't really have under LaFleur. Like, guys would play in the slot, but they weren't real, like, slotty guys.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb is very slotty. so, and I'm digging that.
So slotty.
Slotty little one. Yeah. So he's bringing a new dimension, which is cool.
Yeah.
And also it's just like super f-ing feel good, right? Oh, bleeping feel good. dang it. To watch him, just kind of, you know, get that moment at Lambeau. I'm so happy it happened. I'm so happy it happened at a home game too.
Yeah. I heard on, I believe it was, I feel like every week now I plug Green 19, Tom Silverstein's pod, but I think it was Ryan Wood saying that Randall Cobb's last season with the Packers, he only had 2 touchdowns and neither one of them were at Lambeau. So this was actually his first Lambeau scores since the year before his last year. I don't even remember when that was. Yeah. 2017, 16?
Sounds about right. 17, know. Maybe.
That's too long ago, is it?
No, he was on. He was 2 teams, 3 years, maybe. Whatever. So,
might have been 3 years. Yeah. Yeah, 2 teams, maybe a season each. Maybe 3 total seasons.
The Cowboys 1 year with the Texans, I thought. Right?
Was it one?
Yeah, maybe 18 or the 17 into 18 season. Whatever.
This is why Google exists. But say what you will about Cobb's, you know, skill set at this point in his career, the Rodgers Cobb third down mind meld, I think, is back. Maybe it's at least an option, and I don't know, guys. I kind of think that makes GM Aaron Rodgers seem kind of smart. Maybe no, I don't know. Mm. Agree, disagree? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the 3 of us sat here in the preseason and said this might have been last year that the Packers should just have Aaron Rodgers be the GM for 1 season and see what happens, like maximum chaos.
I believe
maybe
that was
Ben.
This
year.
I think that was a Ben take.
So obviously I'm all for that. also just like just really quick while we're on Cobb, do you get the feeling that like LaFleur sometimes, like I just feel like when the Packers are in the gold zone, that sometimes you can just tell that Matt LaFleur, like kind of the way players do in like video games and stuff, it's just like, this is the person I want to score the touchdown, and I'm just going to scheme this to this exact person, like, because I can. Like, it seemed like that was the Randall Cobb touchdown. It was just like, you deserve this one. You've done some work in this game to really put us in a good scenario, so I'm just giving you this one. And that's kind of cool, because I do feel like at times the Packers offense can just pick and choose like who they want to have the stats. And they do it with Rodgers a lot too, like where they just throw on the goal line.
Well,
it's very obvious, like just like, oh, I want him to have 40 touchdowns this year, so we're going to throw from here, even though we have like 2 running backs who could very successfully punch this in.
Kind of like
that's the kind of stuff I like.
Peyton or Sean Payton, Drew Brees kind of thing. Do you think that to your point about getting Cobb a touchdown, you really think that was a LaFleur thing, or do you think that was a Rodgers thing, or was it like a tag team?
Good point. Yeah, it could be that too.
Because, you know, he goes to the line, he's got a couple options, plays to call, guys to go to, and maybe he's just thinking, Cobby.
Yeah, it very well could be. Again, all for it. GM, coach, do your thing, Bo. Bro, I said Bo. I don't know what the fuck, what the hell that was.
Yeah,
I'm rattled, man. I'm holding this microphone. It's like, man, I'm hot. I'm wearing this hoodie. My AC in here isn't on.
Shout out to Glenn on Twitter for his note nug that he sent in. Randall Cobb is back. Tell your friends. # note nug. Tell your friends. Ben Foldy, give me your note nug. Are you parked? Did you get to your destination?
No, I'm at a red light.
Ben in a car with your note nug.
My note nug is, I don't think I remember the Packers or even their opponents getting one of these dumb taunting flags yet this season. But I think the no fun league is in full effect when a 10-point swing at the end of a half gets ruled out on what seems to be at best an extraordinarily borderline call. And
you're talking about the offsides on the field goal?
Yeah, especially on special teams. It's like, I'm trying to remember if there's been like a good return that doesn't get called back by like a block in the back. You know, it's just like, I really do wish that, especially that, I mean, so much of the game is like scripted now, you know, you can kind of tell, there's so much analytics, I'm not complaining about that, but there's so much analytics that you can kind of tell usually what a play is going to roughly be given down in distance. It's like, there's very little spontaneity in the game anymore. And to have that wiped out by the refs, you know, whether it's in the Packers' favor or not, is I find it, I think, you know, do I think that the NFL is like killing its product? No. But do I wish that the NFL would like let there be some fun chaos? Yes.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that. I don't have a contrarian opinion. This is bad audio. I'm just like, yes, preach.
Well, and it just on the same topic, I mean, like the place where it, another place where it worked against the Packers was the Savage interception that got wiped out by a clean hit. You know, it's just like, yep. It just seems like always the impetus is always to look for why is this important game breaking, like momentum shifting, not momentum, but like, why is this like interesting play? Like what reason can we find for it to not exist?
Yeah.
Whether it's like a hold on a good run or whatever. And I wish that the NFL would kind of reevaluate its priorities on the flag factory.
It's like, oh, that was exciting and or interesting. Must be illegitimate.
By far the most interesting play of the game, right? And beautiful. Like, honestly, I on every replay, I could not see anything wrong with it beyond Tony Romo repeatedly saying, like, anytime you have that many guys in the backfield, it must be offsides. I didn't see that. I could not see that beyond this, like, supposition that it must have been off.
Can we also, not to shift gears, but you mentioned Tony Romo. Can we talk for a second about your low-key theory that he was sauced for this broadcast?
He was deaf, though. I don't know if he, like, caught a you know, party bus up from Burlington or whatever, but it's just like, he was, I can't tell if it's like he was lightly buzzed or he's been encouraged by the network that now that the Mannings have this, like, chat show, you know, this Discord stream, that he should yuck it up a little, because he had jokes. He had a lot of jokes on this broadcast.
Maybe he got some Bud Light seltzer and he thought it was Bud Light because it says Bud Light on the can, but it turns out it's not Bud Light. It's actually a seltzer product.
What is Nick Mangold doing here?
Oh my God. We don't need to get into that.
That campaign is bad. That is a bad campaign.
Not only is it bad, but I tweeted this out during the game. It's just so funny to me that clearly several suits at Bud Light, when they were developing this product, were like, it has to say Bud Light on the can. They have to know it's from us. And now they're spending clearly millions of dollars on an ad campaign to teach people that it does not contain Bud Light. Anyway.
just on the face of it, it sounds like the most disgusting drink imaginable.
Yeah. Back to Romo. I don't know, Alex, you've talked about Romo a lot. I was pumped to have him for this game, and I just thought he was like, the buffoonery, I feel like, was dialed up a little bit in a way that I didn't feel like I got the crack analysis that I was expecting.
Yeah. I get the impression that Tony Romo is like just fueled by, other than whatever he was drinking before the game, like his excitement about the quarterback he's watching. Like, I just think that's another thing. Like, I think he comes into the game thinking this is Aaron Rodgers. I'm so stoked to watch him at Lambeau Field. And he sounds like just a really excited little kid sometimes. Yeah. A drunk kid, but an excited kid. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, he's just a... all I can think about lately when I listen to Romo is like whether or not Jim Nance actually hates his guts or enjoys working with him. Because I really can't tell. Like, it's really hard. That's a fine line he's walking there. But I was entertained.
I'm trying to backtrack now and find it. There was a Jim Nanceism in the game that was just, you know, these broadcasters, like, it's not an easy job to talk for that long as someone who talks in an organized fashion for like 35 minutes at a time. Oh, I found it. Here it is. Out yardaging was a word that he used.
That was Romo or Nance?
That was
Romo,
Nance.
Right?
That was
Nance.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Kind of poetic, honestly. Out yardaging.
Sounds like something I'd hear on an earnings call.
Yes, exactly. Right. Speaking of poetic, I think we will take a quick break and then we'll come back and we will do some news and haikus. Maybe our first ever haiku from a car. Stay tuned.
Oh, I thought you were just doing the poetry of advertising.
The Beautiful Game advertising.
Bud Light Seltzer.
All right, we'll be right back.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, we are back. I'm glad that we've gotten 2.5 solid minutes on Bud Light Seltzer, because that's been a bee in my bonnet since I started seeing those commercials. Just absurd.
I just hope that the ad that just played was an ad for Bud Light Seltzer.
I think we get a lot of ads for other shows in the feed. Maybe it'll be a Bud Light
Seltzers, and I was like, no, thank you. I only want Bud Light Seltzer. Yeah. Thank you.
Get out of here, Michelob. All right.
Well, beer seltzers in general. Anyway, no.
That's another show. That's a subscribe to the Patreon, and we'll do a special podcast just about beer seltzers. But I kid. We're a 10. We got to take it down to a 4 here. So we're gonna step into the spa and do some haikus. I'm gonna go first, because we've learned. You make Kevin King's contract easier to bear, Devondre Campbell.
Bravo.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have much to add to that. I just think Campbell has, who would have guessed, he's really proven out to be kind of a sneaky, super important signing. Has been playing earlier in the year, I was like, wow, this guy's playing very solid jag ball, like just a guy. He's like that piece that you need. But now he's starting to play like a good player. He's like taking a step up, and is a good player. Is he a great player? No, but this is Packers linebackers play we're talking about. The bar is very low, and he has far exceeded my expectations. And I think he's getting, I don't know if we chatted about this. Yeah, it's like $2 million he's getting? Either way, Kevin King, I think's contract works out to be about $5 million, and I was just kind of juxtaposing those just because, you know, just to push buttons on the Kevin King haters out there. But
hey, well, stop knocking King. We're gonna need him in a second.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm sure we'll talk a little Jair as well. But anyway, just wanted to give props to Campbell. Sneaky good signing. He's been playing really well. I get the feeling he's going to be earning himself a lot of money here. Who's next? I'm just going to cue it back up.
I got to make mine up on the fly.
Ooh, an improv haiku in a car. He's literally counting syllables right now.
Should I go?
Okay, Alex, you can go.
Oh, I didn't know. I also can't hear the sounder for some reason, but Ben Roethlisberger is so washed that I'm not sure that I can feel good.
It's poetry.
Okay,
baby.
Defensive performance, right? I mean, secondary got banged up, but that was a little bit later in the game. Like, I kind of maybe like three throws that probably could have been touchdowns. I know that
definitely some routes that his wide receivers won that he just couldn't connect on.
Yeah, a better player would connect and would have, you know, put the Packers in what would have felt like more of a shootout, I think.
Yeah.
Now that being said, I don't want to like discredit the Packers defense, but just the inaccuracy is, you know, that's hard to bear, man. These guys were winning. Like I feel okay about the Packers defense in general, but the secondary I thought got beat up a little bit by a receiving core that was also missing Claypool, right? And didn't was it Juju Smith-Schuster on the sideline after who like some lip reading professionals put out there that he said something like it's a Ben problem.
It's a Ben problem,
which is pretty hard to deny. We've known that for a while, but I don't watch the Steelers week to week, so it was kind of a shock to me just how not good he is. And then the other thing too is that I just happened, you know, by virtue of Red Zone the week before and then this week, 2 weeks in a row witnessed, was it two in this game alone? I think it was, right? Fourth down throws, back-to-back weeks, maybe three or four total, that are just like at the line of scrimmage or well short of the line to gain on fourth down and not really an obvious path for there to be yards after the catch to be had. And I just don't understand, like, that's just giving up.
Yeah.
Like I would think that the person being thrown the ball in that scenario has to be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, really? Why is this coming to me? I mean, they don't have a better alternative. And I know that he's a face of the franchise guy. Let's just put it this way. We should all thank the heavens that our quarterback who wants to play into his 40s is capable, and our issue is whether or not we want to keep paying him that to play like an MVP rather than this guy who's probably had at least a year, if not 2 years, too long a leash. But damn. Yeah.
I don't follow the Steelers very closely, obviously, but so their backups are, is it Rudolph and Haskins, I think? Are there two?
Might be.
Mason or whatever, and Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. So those aren't good options either, but it just makes me like wonder, was there anything behind the scenes this offseason? Were they trying to get someone else, or were they just, did they really just think that Ben was going to be good enough? Because I'm guessing that he looked something like this, maybe not as bad, but something like this last year too. I don't know, just really bad. I'm not saying anything you haven't already said. I was just very surprised at how awful he was. I believe Justice referred to him as benchably bad.
I thought if he was mediocre to fine, that defense is good enough for them to be competitive, I think.
Yeah.
So I can see why they took the gamble, but it so far it doesn't seem to be working out very well.
Yep.
Not it fine. Also doesn't really back up the didn't they spend a first rounder on a running back, first or second rounder? Najee Harris.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't do that, guys.
And also that. They fell behind, so maybe again this is like a lack of knowing the Steelers first few weeks of the season, but they didn't exactly work that hard to establish the run, it felt like, or maybe it just wasn't there. But that game, I mean, I enjoyed it, right? I was a little hungover, so I really like the comfortable win that you can kind of coast through as a fan, you know what I'm saying?
Emotionally, you can just sort of...
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that was a league average quarterback on the Steelers away from being, oh God, I hope we have the ball last. That's what it felt like to me, and maybe I have a total wrong read on that, but it could have very easily been one of those games, especially with Jair going down later in the game, and the Packers having to reach deep in their depth chart.
Maybe I would also say, and to go back to our note nugs, Steve tweeted at us, this game could have easily been 40-10. I think that it's true in the other direction as well, Alex. And I think a lot of it has to do with the rain. I mean, this game started and there was a literal cloud on the field. It was crazy.
There was a cloud on the field, which I wouldn't know because I was watching Jets Titans, baby.
You were one of those people. That sucks.
I was one of those people stuck, just happy to have it on TV.
Yep.
And then missed almost a quarter of football and had to get caught up through highlights and other things because guess what? I don't pay for Game Pass. That app sucks.
Yeah.
You're the NFL. Produce something better. Anyway.
All right. We are going to move on to Ben's haiku. I'm going to hit the sounder again and tell you that it's playing because apparently we can't hear it today.
I got to make it up. Good game of small ball. LaFleur's offense looking good. Establish the run.
Yeah, nice work. Making it up.
Yeah.
I think I was happy to see AJ Dillon get in on the action on this game. Could have used him more though. I don't know, what do you think?
Indeed. I don't have that much to say about the mix. I mean, I think Dillon, if I remember it, Dillon started getting more touches kind of later in the game when they were wearing him down. He broke off like a good 15-yard run.
Well, I think if you also didn't see the first quarter, I do think that they did that thing where they gave Jones the first series and they gave Dillon like the start of the second one.
Yeah, no, I saw the whole game, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of like a perfect encapsulation of the LaFleur offense. For the most part, it was kind of, and this goes back to what we were talking about with the offensive line. Rodgers in rhythm, quick throws, well schemed, keep the play action threat there. I thought that was a really good game by the offense on the play calling side of things. And also on the details side of things. Like I could watch Alan Lazard block all day. I mean, I probably couldn't. Actually, I'd get pretty bored, but I could watch it for a little while.
You're just like hyperbole. Well, walk it back.
Yeah. I really do. I think Alan Lazard is like this team. When I look at this offense now, I see like a team of people who really know what their roles are, except for DeGuara. I don't know what his role is, but I see a bunch of a very well-functioning kind of machinic offensive role players. And I think, it's not new, but I do think that this seems to be potentially like its most recognized form yet. Most realized, I guess.
I heard Matt LaFleur a couple weeks ago refer to Alan Lazard as their goon.
He's a great blocker. I think he's fantastic.
I've been enjoying blocking the past few weeks, especially having faced Bosa and Watt, who both annoy me for different reasons, and coming out relatively unscathed. Aside from, and we didn't mention this in the referee talk, that trip.
Do we have to devote, does ref talk have to be a segment every week where we talk for 5 minutes about how the officiating gets worse every week, every season?
I don't know the rules, but I don't think the people who are paid to enforce them know them either. So at this point, it's just like on every play, I'm just like, I have no clue.
To pick up that tripping flag was mind-blowing.
The fact that it was thrown and then, waved. I mean, that's insane to me. To me, that was like the teaching tape on what the rule of tripping is. And I also think that it's hard to see in real time, but like, you have angles on this thing and his toes are like that spikes up. Like people are arguing if that's a red card, like he's getting thrown out. So how is that not tripping in the NFL when it results in a sack? I mean, it's just, oh man,
that was
just got to blow people out so that we don't have to worry about this kind of stuff.
That was credited as a sack for Watt. And then also when Rodgers slid, that was also credited as a sack for Watt. So Watt, who was for the most part handled in this game and hobbled, I'm assuming, by, I believe, a groin injury, someone who I find highly annoying, as you mentioned as well, gets handled but still gets credit for 2 sacks in this game. Very annoying.
Yeah. Sucks.
Very annoying.
There's probably some bye week highly annoying content too. Ooh, to be had.
Yeah.
It's like guys that through the half the season or whatever, you just can't stand any longer just having to watch them.
Yeah. We could bye week hackles up. We could do first half of the show, hackles up, where we just talk about stuff that we're finding annoying. And the second half, we can do trivia where we all just tank. Tank at trivia.
I think we could do okay. It depends on, you know, there's probably a lot of random little things that we remember that are impressive to know, and some like really obvious things that I don't know that all of us will just be stumped by.
Well, we got 2 minutes and 45 seconds left on our free Zoom shot clock. Before we get out of here, I guess the Packers have the Bengals next. How do we feel about this game? 2-3-1 teams. What's the line? Do we our Vegas guy, Alex, already is grabbing the phone.
Yeah, right now, -3 on the road. The over-under's at 50.5. So points, I don't know though, man. Like Joe Burrow, I feel like every time I want to believe in him, aka anytime I bet on the Bengals, he ends up sucking. And it makes me think that this could also be a he ends up sucking kind of game. But he will be facing a Kevin King and Eric Stokes secondary, right? Which, yep. Stokes promising? King off an injury, not promising?
Yeah, and probably no Jair. As we record this, which is, it's now, I believe, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday night. Tyler Brook, who does the I Love Gold podcast, saying that he has a guy calling one of their team doctors and they keep stalling because they're genuinely trying to get other opinions. They know it's an HC joint injury, but I think they're exploring options. I think it's one of those things where it's like he could play with a brace or he could get surgery or there's like a bunch of different options. But to my mind, all of them mean not playing next week, at least. So I feel like it's a Jairless game. As yeah. of right now.
I'd use this little run of games to get healthy, I think, if I were them. I would take the Packers anyway. I think they win.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I guess the one thing I do want to say is I wasn't on last week, so I didn't get to eat crow with Joe Barry. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think I'm actually interested to see how he copes with a Jairless roster for a little while. We'll see. I'm curious to see, like, How does the star come into play, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I was noticing some interesting movement of Savage around the formation. So, you know, I'm back to, he doesn't need to be fired.
You can't make this stuff up. Ben literally says he doesn't need to be fired. And then the free Zoom ends. Sopranos ending, baby. I love this bit. I love this bit because now I'm in this conversational mode and I'm just alone in a room with no video chat, with no co-hosts, just me and a third of a beer left looking at the screen, trying to convince me to pay for Zoom. But that's it. That's it for us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We are on Twitter at The Unpack Pod for memes, for news and updates about the show and new episodes and all that stuff, where you can interact with us there as well. We are also on Instagram again for no reason. I'll probably post some screenshots. I got a good one of Ben literally counting syllables on his hand for his haiku in his car. That's on brand. That feels on brand. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for Alex and Ben. I am Zach. Packers are 3-1, baby. Woo! Let's go, Pack, go.